From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and Election Day is just 4 days away now. There are countless close races to talk about, so let's get right to talking about them with one of the biggest names in political journalism, Mark Halperin, co-managing editor of Bloomberg Politics and co-host of a new political talk show on Bloomberg called With All Due Respect.
Mark joins us from New York. And Mark, we understand that that's what you and John Heilman named the show, because that's what people in Washington say just before they unload on you. With all due respect.
Sometimes there's a little bit of unloading. I mean, look, it's a great – we like the expression because sometimes people do say it genuinely. Respect is important in politics, but obviously there's a little bit of an edge to it because often, more often than not, when somebody says with all due respect, they're getting ready to unload.
Right, right. Well, Tuesday's the day. Control of Congress in the balance. What do you want to talk about? What do you think is the most important factor to watch right now?
Well, if you think of the main three categories of contests, the House races, Republicans will maintain their majority in Washington in the House. John Boehner will return as Speaker. There's some big governor's races, Massachusetts, Florida, Georgia, and Michigan and Wisconsin, Colorado all have big governor's races and some other states. But the main action is control of the Senate. And there, Republicans need to net six seats. They probably have three in the bag, so they need to net three more for majority control. And there's 10 races and still in play. Basically, three held by Republicans, seven by Democrats. So from that combo of 10 states, Republicans need to net three more. And today they do it, I think, but it could potentially, without a Republican wave, it could be close and have huge implications for the country and the president, because there's a big difference between a Washington with Republicans in control, right, of the House and the Senate, and the status quo, where Republicans have the House but Democrats keep the Senate.
Well, do you agree, staying with the math for a second, do you agree with Chuck Todd of NBC, who says watch three states, Iowa, Kansas, Colorado, the party that gets two of the three wins the Senate?
No, I mean, certainly Chuck's right that those three are three of the 10 and they're in play. But I can imagine a world where Republicans lose, for instance, two of those three, but still take control.
I want to talk about some of the hot races. And the one that I think has been one of the most fascinating this entire cycle, in part because it's an open seat and it is so close, is in Georgia. You talked about the governor's race there in Georgia. But the Senate race between Democrat Michelle Nunn and Republican David Perdue, still too close to call. I want to play – we were down in Georgia earlier this month, and there was this – unbelievable debate that went on at the Georgia State Fair. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
David has talked about failed government policies of President Obama and Harry Reid. In fact, I'm not sure that he recognizes that he's not running against Harry Reid or Barack Obama. He's running against me.
Michelle, I have a lot of respect for you, but you're dead wrong. I am absolutely running against Barack Obama and Harry Reid.
Mark Halperin, what do you make of what's going on in the Florida race, in the Georgia race, rather?
Well, it is a close race. And, of course, at this point, the most likely outcome is no result on Election Day. And the runoff there is in January, the day after the new Congress is sworn in. Michelle Nunn has been probably the best Senate candidate Democrats have had, incumbent or non-incumbent, this cycle, giving her a chance to win in a state or force a runoff, at least in a state that has elected mostly Republicans of late. And Perdue has been a pretty weak candidate. He's had some problems with some records, some aspects of his business record from the past. I think that Democrats have some hope of actually her getting to 50 and avoiding a runoff, which would be quite a big thing for the party in Georgia, but also in terms of the Senate math would make it much harder for Republicans to get the majority. But in all likelihood, again, we go to a runoff. And same thing is likely to happen in Louisiana. And while people want to make guesses now about who would be favored in a runoff, I think all bets are off if we do go to a runoff in one or both of those races. And if Senate control is at hand, at issue, based on the results of one or both of those runoffs, I think you'll see so many factors go into the runoff that it's really hard to predict what would happen.
Well, Mark, talk a little more about that, what our friend Rick Klein at ABC is calling overtime. You know, this idea that the candidates in Georgia have to have, 50% or more, and there's a Libertarian running who might keep them below – will probably keep them below that. If that runoff isn't till by state laws, it would be January 6th, that's after the next session of Congress begins.
Yeah, and again, Louisiana is likely to have the same thing. And those are two races where one's a Democratic-held seat. Mary Landrieu is the incumbent there. Georgia is a Republican-held seat with no incumbent. The incumbent's retiring. So in theory, depending on the math, you could have one or both of those races deciding who had control. And as I said before, I think it's unpredictable. You can't just assume that, for instance, in Louisiana, if the Republican finishes first in the first round of balloting, that he's going to win in the runoff. There's unpredictable elements in Georgia, for instance. The runoff's on a Saturday. It's also on a Saturday, the day of the SEC football championship. Hmm. That's a big event, and Republicans think focus on football hurts them more than it hurts Democrats. It's also generally historically true that African-American voters, a big part of the electorate in Louisiana, are more likely to turn out on a Saturday than a Tuesday election. So, as I said twice, you can't assume we know what the outcome of these runoffs are going
to
be.
We remember back in 2006, there was that we had to wait a while to find out who won Virginia. It was Jim Webb and George Allen, and it was so close that we didn't know for some time afterwards. Let's talk about another big race, Scott Brown in New Hampshire. He's running as a Republican in New Hampshire. He's a former Massachusetts senator against incumbent Democrat Jeanne Shaheen. They were at a debate last night. George Stephanopoulos of ABC was moderating and asked each of them what the greatest threat is to the U.S. Let's listen.
The greatest threat, without a doubt, is radical Islamic jihadists. They are looking to actually plant a flag in the White House. They want to disrupt, obviously, the Middle East and other parts of the world, export terrorism around the region of the world. It's something that's real. It's serious.
Senator Shaheen, do you agree that's the greatest threat?
Well, I certainly agree that ISIS is a threat. I think a bigger threat is not having the commitment and the gumption here in this country to address the threat of ISIS, to address other threats facing this country. And I don't share my opponent's view that that ISIS or other terrorists are going to cause the collapse of this country.
Mark, what do you think of what's going on in that race where Scott Brown hasn't really been able to take the lead over Shaheen in a big way?
He hasn't. That's one of two Democratic held seats. The other is North Carolina, where the races have clearly closed. The Republican challengers have moved within striking distance. I think if you see a national wave that we don't pick up now, but don't rule out, I think Scott Brown has a chance there. But even my Republican sources say Brown is not going to be the sixth seat that Republicans need for control. If Brown ends up winning, it's going to be a very big Republican night where they may end up being plus seven, plus eight, plus nine seats in the Senate.
Well, you know, just picking up there for a second as they speak about ISIS in that debate, when I asked you, Mark, what do you think we should be watching and looking at? In some ways, I meant issues. And what do you think? Anything can happen. You know, we suddenly have Ebola in a few weeks before an election. Couldn't have guessed that a few months ago. We were talking about how a few years ago you'd think it was going to be the Affordable Care Act that was going to be front of people's minds. Now you have this sort of amorphous fear. Scott Brown talks about ISIS and coming across the borders. So what do you think are the issues that are going to propel people when they get to the booth?
Well, the issues matrix is a bit confused, and certainly there's been a lot of focus on these national and international crises. I think overall, the economy and the question of the performance of the president are still the biggest things. Yeah. His numbers have been hurt if you look at how people think he's been handling the crises. The data is mixed, but it's certainly been less positive. And it's kept the president and the Democrats from being out there talking about what they want to talk about. The news flow has kind of been filled with these big stories that, if anything, have not worked the Democrats' advantage. But again, the minimum wage, some of the gender issues, some of the workplace issues that the White House and the Democrats really wanted to be at the center of the national discussion, I think, are not quite as in the forefront as they would have liked. So if you ask what voters are going to vote on Election Day, I think it's going to be largely on the economy and the president and a sense of wanting to send a message to Washington. Now, Republicans aren't popular, and some of them, I think, are going to be sent a message in individual races. But overall, I think the worry for the Democrats, not surprising, is in these most high-profile races, the message going to be we want to send a message to the president that we think the country needs to be headed in a slightly different direction or a substantially different direction.
Mark, let's take a glimpse into the possible future. If Republicans take the Senate and hold on to the House as they're expected to do, what happens? What are their key agenda items? What do they want to get done? And is there anything that they want to get done that President Obama will be willing to go along with?
there is an overlap on things like infrastructure, tax reform, energy. I think that you see a substantial overlap. The problem is that they're going to have to decide kind of the mode of how they behave. Republicans are going to be emboldened if they take control of the Senate, and some of them are going to say, let's wait. Let's wait till we get a Republican president. The problem is the calendar. For those who'd like to see things get done, both in Congress and in the White House and then around the country, getting anything major done through committee, onto the floor, into a conference committee, it's going to be October, probably optimistically, before that happens. October is just a couple months away from the Iowa caucuses, and that's when I think Republicans are going to be kicking the tires on their presidential candidates. And for a lot of them, unless President Obama can really forge some compromises of the type he's not been able to do much of while he's been in office, I think a lot of Republican leaders and a lot of grassroots activists are going to say, let's not pass things on the president's terms. Let's pass things on the next president's terms, because we hope that'll be a Republican. I hope that doesn't happen. I think there are some big issues where there is overlap on what should be dealt on with, but it's going to be forging those compromises. It's really tough.
Yeah. And just, we mentioned some of the issues, and you also mentioned the governor's races. A judge in Maine has now ruled that Casey Hickox, the nurse, does not have to be quarantined while she awaits a hearing there in Maine. And this is something that sets her up in this battle with the governor there, LePage, who's running for re-election. Is the Ebola issue maybe something that's going to impact governor's races more than it might a national race?
Yeah, it might in the main race. But for the most part, I think I'm not dismissing it as an issue. It's an important public health issue. I'm not dismissing it as a question. It's sort of in the general flow of people thinking about the president's leadership. But
right.
I think in the absence of candidates talking about issues, in the absence of major election developments in the debates and in advertising, I think this is a bit of a press creation, because this is what we all have to talk about, is we have to say something in the context of what's going on in the races, what are voters thinking. If you look at the data in state races, national races, Ebola, I think, has hurt the president's standing, and that's bad for Democratic candidates. But I don't think a lot of voters are voting on this issue,
right,
or on this matter.
Mark Halperin, just a few seconds left. What's the biggest surprise to you of this entire campaign cycle?
The fact that I can't find any candidates who are talking about ideas to turn the economy around. The economy is still the biggest issue for voters. I've looked at every Senate race, most of the governor's races in detail. I can't find a single new idea about how to create jobs and good paying jobs for the American people.
Well, with all due respect, Mark. Mark Halperin,
thanks for the plug.
Managing editor of Bloomberg Politics, co-host of the new show, With All Due Respect. Thanks so much.
Thank you.